The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. We're just about here. We reached this last time in Perek Dalet, in Shabitochen in the Chivis HaLavovis, where the Chivis HaLavovis explains what he meant about Bitochen in Hashem in Yoni HaMitzvahs, in the performance of mitzvahs. Where is it appropriate? Where isn't it appropriate? So he says as follows: Behu ki maase ha'avoda v'ha'avera yitochnu le'odom ki im b'hikovet shloisha dvorim. Service of Hashem, doing a mitzvah or an avera, is only possible for a person with three criteria. There are three things that must be involved. The first one is his choice to do it in his heart. He chooses to do the mitzvah, the b'chira chofshis. V'hasheni, hakavono, haskoma, lasis, masha bochar bo. First he chooses to do it. And then he has kavona and haskoma to actually do it. I want to do it. That's the first thing. I want to do it. I chose to do it, yes. But there also has to be a decision to implement that choice. That's the second. He's going to do that which he chose to do. Vashlishi, she yishtada ligmor ha-maisa be'evorav ha-nirim v'yitzio el gedr ha-maisa. He has to attempt the efforts, the actions, to finish that act with his bodily actions and take it out of the theoretical, out of the b'koyach, and bring it into b'poil, into maisa. U'masha'eino ne'elo mimeno bohem, he says, and that which is not removed from him, in other words, that which is not out of his reach, out of his ability to do, out of his awareness, things that he does have control about, like the choice or the kavon and the haskoma to do, habitochon aloikim boze tous v'sichlus. Trusting Hashem in the area of making the right bechira for me, or making the right haskoma that I should actually agree and determine that I'm going to do it, he says that to focus on bitochen on Hashem in this is a mistake and foolishness. Because Hashem left it to us, the choice of serving him or rebelling against him. Choose, it's a tzivui, it's a mitzvah. Choose life. It's up to us. Therefore, to say, oh, Bitochen Hashem is going to make the right choice. He's going to make the right bechira. Bitochen Hashem is going to decide for me that I'm going to actualize that which I chose. That's not, he doesn't get involved in that. He left that to us. That is really where our Avodas Hashem comes in. And for a person to take the attitude that he's going to rely on Hashem to do that, for he'll make it, look, I'm just going to sit, I'm not going to think, I'm not going to agonize with decisions, right from wrong, choice to do one thing or the other. I'll leave it up to him. He'll put the right idea in my mind. He'll make the right haskoma belev, the conviction. He says that's foolishness and a mistake, because Hashem doesn't do that, because he gave us the ability to choose. The only thing the things that he did leave in our reshus are the choice and the decision to implement that choice. But the only thing that he gets involved in are the things that are chutzlonu, ela besiba shem chutzlonu, those that are beyond our control. The actual bringing to fruition. A person decides he wants to do the mitzvahs, lulav and esrog. A person makes up his mind, I'm going to go out and look for a lulav. And maybe he even goes. But whether he finds the right one, whether he finds a kosher one, whether he's successful, that's the only thing. It's up to Hashem, and there would be appropriate bitochen. Let's say he's going to trust Hashem in the choice of how he's going to serve him, and he'll say, I'm not going to choose. I'm not going to focus on doing anything from Avedis. I'm not going to get involved in the whole process of making those decisions. Ad He's going to choose for me that which he'll choose, which mitzvahs I should do. He'll choose. Maybe it is. Sometimes this is a little more innocent. You know, I have a choice of two mitzvahs. I don't know which to do. I'll sit tight and let Hashem choose for me. No, he says, Kvar to miderech hayeshara. This person has veered from the straight path. And his feet have strayed from the right ways. Because Hashem has commanded us to choose. It's a commandment. You can't rely on Hashem to do the mitzvahs for you. Hashem's not going to do it. It's our mitzvah. Okay, Hashem, he'll do the mitzvah for me. But make the choice. No, because making the choice is the mitzvah. And he's not going to do mitzvahs for you. That's your responsibility. So that Hashem is not going to do that. In order to be for his name. And he let us know. This is the right way for us. And this and the next. And this is the only way. We must make choices. V'yizdamnu hasibois. He said, if the sibas work out, we've made a choice, and then it's brought to fruition. The act can actually be fulfilled. He says, and this is a very beautiful thing. He says that if in fact he will be zeicha, that his act that he chose to do and that he made a decision to bring to fruition actually happens, we get schar for the bchira, we get rewarded for the bchira, we get rewarded for the kavona to do it, and for the completion of the maisa, actual physical completion. That act, that's from the chesed Hashem, that when we do everything that we're capable of doing, to the extent that I've made the right choice, that I've made the haskoma, I decide I'm going to do it, and I was help min hashamayim that it should actually come to fruition. He says, "This we get schar for even the coming to fruition, which was really all Hashem's doing, since it's the choice that we made and the haskoma to do it that we were zeicher to it to come to fruition. We get the schar as if we actually did the action itself. And if in fact it's withheld from us that we can't finish the ma'aseh, it doesn't happen. Then we get only the schar for schira and kavona. We weren't zeiche to have the maisa, so therefore we can't get the schar for the maisa, because the reason we didn't get the maisa is because we weren't zeiche. So all we get is the schar for the bchira and the kavona. And then same thing applies to einish. Okay. What's the difference between the service of Hashem and other actions that we do? Beinyan habitochem belekim, in reference to bitochem belekim, sheshor in yoni ha'olam lo niglu lonu ofne hatoiv v'hamoyel besibu min hasibus mibaladei sheirisom. V'loi ofne ha'hefsen. He says, the difference is like this. In yoni ha'olam, not in yoni mitzvah, but in yoni ha'olam, it's not revealed to us what's good and what's bad. I don't know whether this deal is good and this deal is bad. I don't know whether this business is good, this business is bad. I don't know whether anything, I don't know anything. What's good and what's bad is a secret to us. And we don't know what's going to cause loss, what's going to cause gain, and so forth. We have no idea which one is good. I think I would like this profession, but really that's never going to work for me. I'd like this business deal to go through. That could be the worst thing in the world. I desperately didn't want this deal to go through. It went through, it could be the best thing in the world. It's better, he says, to ask. I want parnosa, I want health, I want good, but not be'ezu schira. I want this particular. I want a dafka should be in real estate. I want a dafka should be in stocks. I want a dafka should be in this business. Which way? I want dafka to do this. I only want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a dentist. I don't want to be a dentist. I don't want to be a lawyer. That's not for us. Those are areas where we trust Hashem. We just have to have the general kavona and intent, because we don't know which is best. Well, and that's what he says this far, is what we know, that we don't know on maise ha'olam, on worldly things, we have no idea which is best for us. And therefore, we have to, our thoughts have to be, parnosa is best for me, a person needs parnosa. Health is best for me, a person needs health. And other things that are good. Now, even though sometimes it could be that if a person doesn't have parnosa, that's also for his good, but that's not the normative good. The normative good is parnosa, is health, and things should be good, and nachas from the children, and these things, but of course that may be a spiritual kind of thing. But anyway, so memela, I have a right to rely on Hashem for the general. But which particular profession, which particular business, which particular deal, which particular whatever, that's not appropriate, because we don't know what's good and what's not good. Therefore, we're not supposed to focus that way, and therefore that's not the proper bitochon. Uminadino leinu shniftach b'elokim b'bchirosu la'ashlamosu l'ozreinu amash yesh b'y tovosenu achash esgagal aleihem v'nischanin elov lohoyer levoveinu b'bchiros hatoi v'ruya lonu mehem. It says, what is appropriate? If it's taka not tolui in bitochen about the bechira is inappropriate. We can't rely, Hashem will make the choice for us. You have to agonize with the choice and come to the right decision. Hashem will force the haskoma, he'll cause my heart to be determined. No, I have to be determined. I have to choose and make and develop my own determination, because that's what it's all about. But what is appropriate in these things in terms of bitochen, he says, and here is very interesting, he says, he will, that he should help us to do that, to make the right choices. To v'nischanen elav lohoyer levoveinu, and we beseech him to enlighten our hearts, lebchiras hatov ruya lanu mehem, to make the proper choices. In other words, he's not going to make the choices for us. And we have no right to ask him or to expect him to make the choices for us. The only thing we have a right to ask him and expect him is to help us to make the right choices. And that is an important point to mention. We say in the Hallel, we say in Tehillim, Ona Hashem Yishiono, Ona Hashem Hatzlichono. The Sipurnu, very interesting, says Ona Hashem Hatzlichono does not refer to we ask for Hatzlocho in to bring our efforts to fruition. He says Hatzlichono, we ask for Hashem to be Matzliach the Hishtadlus. We should make the proper Hishtadlus. Hoyishiono, Hashem does everything. Hashem does everything. Hishtadlus is taka part of what we have to do. But the hishtadlus does not succeed. It's not crowned with success. That's not what Hatzlichono means. Hoshiono means everything should happen. Hashem from Hashem, everything will be successful. And the success is from Hashem. The Hatzlichono is that we should choose the right hishtadlus. We ask Hashem to help us in the proper hishtadlus, but not to bring the hishtadlus to good, because everything is good from Hashem. That's directly from Hashem. It isn't the hishtadlus which necessarily becomes good or works out for the best. That's all a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hatzlocha that we ask is the hatzlocha to be mishtav. Then he continues. Aval avedas haburi yisborach inen okay. When avedas Hashem, things are a little bit different. Bipnei shekvar hodi onu ofni hanuchinu bo. The reason that avedas Hashem is different, you can't say, oh, please, Rabbeinu Shalom, help me to, not help me, but be mishtadl for me. Make the haskoma b'lev, do it for me. Make the bechira, make the right choice for me. I'm sorry, make the right choice, not mishtadl. I'm getting a little confused in that. Make the right choice for me. I want to do what's right. Please choose for me. I'm not going to take the responsibility for that decision. You decide for me. You make the bechira, you bring it to the haskoma b'lev, he says. That's not true. Why? Because here, the only where we have a right to trust Hashem is beyond our ability. We trust Hashem beyond our ability. And in the physical world, and in Parnosa, and in everything we do, everything is beyond our ability. We don't have the ability to do anything. We don't have the ability. We can't do anything. A person can't even move his finger like this if it's not supposed to be. So we have no ability. Therefore, we trust Hashem. When it comes to Ruchnius, we do have an ability. He gave us the ability because we know what's good. We know that the mitzvah is the good choice. We know that we use Torah and we decide in halacha with kedimas and with halachas and with preferences and all types of other things. So we know what's right. We can decide what the right bechira is. Then we can't rely on Hashem for that because that's within the realm. We rely on Hashem for things that are beyond. See, He wants us to live in the world of Teva. He wants us to live in the world of Avodas Hashem. He wants us to do that which we're supposed to do. So that which is within our capability to judge right from wrong, to know what to do, that we have to do. And one of the things when it comes to Avodas Hashem, that's something that we can decide. We know what's right. We look at the Torah. Torah tells us what to do. And if things are a little bit more complicated, we consult with Talmidei Chachomim, with Rabbonim, with Poskim, with Das Torah, because it's all in Torah. So therefore, he says, we can't rely on him for that, because he told us what's right, and he told us what's best. And he told us what we're going to receive for it, the benefit, sometimes the punishment. If we're going to beg him, choose for me, please, I can't decide, make the choice for me. I said, I trust that you're going to make the right choice. I'm going to sit back, and we're going to trust him, and he should show us that which is good. We will be mistaken and we will be foolish in our bitochen. The reason is because he's already gave it to us. What's bitochen? Bitochen is I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. It's out of my control. It's beyond me. I turn to you. I rely on you. But this is not beyond you. The Torah told you what to do. It's all given, it's all written, it's all dictated to us as he brings Psukum Vayetzaveinu Hashem Lasus Kol Achukim Eliyros Hashem Elokeinu Tov Lono Kol Hayomim. He commanded us to perform all of his mitzvahs and to fear him that it should be good for us all the days. Utztokot Yelonu Ki Nishmor Lasus. It'll be a benefit for us, a tztoka for us if we'll do the mitzvahs. So he told us what to do. So we're not in the unknown world, in the world that's beyond our control, in the world that we have no choice but to turn to Hashem because there's nothing we can do about it. Rather than turning to Hashem with bitochen, when we want, instead of making the bechira, we say, you make the choice for me, we should turn to His Torah and to see the choices that He revealed. In our worldly existence, He did not reveal to us the proper choices. Therefore, we have to rely on Him to guide us and to help us through that. But in the world of Torah, what we have to be boicher b'charto b'chayim, he told us exactly, Eitz Chayim he, this is the Torah, this is what it's all about. So therefore we refer to the Torah to find out what to do, rather than to trust Hashem that he should make those decisions for us. Void. And beyond that, and furthermore, ki inyoni ho'olam yesh shetoshim hasibu ha-meshubachas meguna ha-meguna meshubachas. He says, achu avoidu v'haveiru enom, oh, he says like this, in worldly things, sometimes the best deal turns out to be the worst. And sometimes the worst turns out to be the best. And we find this so many times in business. There are people that were chalishing for a certain deal and it didn't work out. And then they find, oh, what they were saved from. What they were going to buy this stock and they couldn't do it. And they were so upset and they lost a night's sleep. And then they find out the next day, wow, that would have been a bust. You know, and just the opposite, it works both ways. So he says, in worldly things, we find sometimes it's so deceiving. The thing that's, so to say that we're going to make the decision there is foolish, it's foolhardy, it's ridiculous, it's stupid. Because how can you make a decision? What do you know? It looks good right now, it looks good on paper. Tomorrow everything is upside down. But not so in the spiritual world. He says, because achu avoyde va'aveira einam kein. They're not that like that. Ki ha-meguno ha-ba-meshubach mehem lo yi-osek mi-inyonov lo yi-scholif lo-ilom. Because that which is appropriate will always be appropriate. And that which was inappropriate will always be inappropriate. The Torah never changes. So therefore, when it comes to the choices in Ruchnius, we don't rely on Hashem's bitochem b'Hashem to make those choices? Because He gave us the guidance to make those choices in the Torah. He revealed it to us. We have to do it ourselves, and He wants us to do it ourselves, and He wants us to earn the benefits of the right choices. When it comes to the worldly decisions, where there's no way of knowing anything, because everything is in His control, and oftentimes the best, the apparent best seems, it turns out worst, and the apparent worst turns out best, on that we rely completely on Him to do it all for us and to make sure that everything is in order. Aval ma sheroi leftoach olov hu gmar maiseho avoido. He says, that which is appropriate in service of Hashem, to have bitocho, to rely on Hashem, is to bring the end, the avodah, the thing that I do, to bring it to fruition, to make it happen. Achar b'chirosa v'lev sholim v'ne'amon v'haskomar v'ishtadus b'bor levov v'kavon l'shmei agodol. He says, after we put in our effort with our b'chiro, with a lev sholim, we honestly made the right choice, and we decided, and we put in the hishtadlus to do, and we, akavona was the shrei agodol, akavona was the kiddush shem shemayim, akavona was to elevate Hashem in this world. For that, we're obligated to beg Him and beseech Him to help us. So, and this is the idea with so many of the mitzvahs that we do. Let's say a person has to buy a beautiful, wants an esrog, beautiful esrog. He's looking for a kosher, a beautiful esrog. So he has to put in the bechira, belev sholim. I decide I want to get this year an esrog, not shaykh. And I make up my mind, I'm going to go through the motions. I got to go to the shuk, I got to go to the stores, I got to go here, I got to put in the effort. Because if I don't put in the effort, then that's part of the mitzvah. I'm not doing the mitzvah. And I'm doing it with kavanah l'shmei agodol. I want the best mitzvah, like the famous story with the goyim, where they went to get an esrog for him. And that year they couldn't find the esrogim, and finally they found someone with a beautiful esrog. But the individual was only willing to sell the shluchim of the goyim the esrog if the goyim gives up all the schar that he gets for the mitzvah. So he could have the esrog, but he'll have to give all the schar that he gets for this esrog to this guy who sold it to him. And they didn't know what to do. They were very reluctant to do such a thing. How dare they do that to the goyin? On the other hand, they knew they couldn't find another esrog. They decided, okay, they made the deal. And they come back to the goyin in great trepidation. And they tell him that we bought the esrog, but we gave away. We told him that you'll give away your schar for this esrog. And the goyin was thrilled. They asked him, what is he so happy about? He says, this is going to be the first time in my life that I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah untainted, uninfluenced, with no thought of the schar, because I'm not getting any schar for this. Purely just l'shem mitzvah. So that l'shmei ha'godol. So when we have these things, then this is the way we approach mitzvahs. That when I put in the b'chira and I make the right haskoma and hishtadlus, and my kavona is for the right purposes, then then we beg Him, please help it. Help me find the right esrog. I can't say to Hashem, help me choose. I'm relying on you to make the choice if I should get a good esrog this year, I should borrow somebody else's. Or I'm relying on you, I made the choice, I want to, but to bring it into fruition, to actualize it, you better do it for me, because otherwise I'm going to sit home in bed. Those two things, no. And at the right kavona. But he says, but then we should beg Hashem, please Hashem, I made the decision to get an esrog. I went out and I pounded the pavement looking for an esrog. Now I ask you, please, I beg of you, let me find that beautiful esrog. That's the element that's not in our control. Excuse me, that's the ultimate element. It's not in our control. It's not the bechira, and it's not the askoma, and it's not the kavona, but it's just the actual finding it. That's something that we turn to Hashem and we beg Him, and He brings psukim hadriyeni v'amitecho, hadricheni v'amitecho, lamdeni hadricheni b'nsimit zoisecho, Derech emuna b'chorti, brings psukim, which show this idea. We ask Hashem to please guide us in the actual performance and observance of the mitzvah. I thought that maybe for a moment we would just reflect a little bit about the
significance of this this particular idea. It seems almost a bit strange that the Chovas HaLevavos has to tell us, in other words, there are mitzvahs. We know we have to do the mitzvah. I mean, like, what would we be thinking that we rely on Hashem to make decisions for us, and we rely on Hashem to make the choices for us? I mean, of course, that's what a person has to do. That's his mitzvah. It seems that the message of Hashem's control and involvement with our lives in the Chovas HaLevavos is so total that it could even lead us to think that even in this area, one might be reliant on Hashem. And the Chovas HaLevavos had to come and tell us that, you know, it might be true. Because ultimately, which choices to make are need guidance. Is it an appropriate choice? Is it not an appropriate choice? And just like in business, you could make a choice of this deal, and it could be the worst deal you ever made, and this deal, which you didn't make, could be the best. Hashem has to help you make that decision for you. So too, in all the inyonim of Ruchnius, it could be the same thing, that, you know, Hashem makes choices for me, and I'm relying on Him, and I'm counting on Him. But he says, but in Ruchnius it's different, because in Ruchnius He gave us the information up front. We have the unique system of a directive in life which guides us in everything we do. And I think that herein, in this concept, also lies a certain measure of bitochon that has to be appreciated as well. And that is that when a person follows the Torah, he's following the divine blueprint. He's following the guidance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him in order to succeed in this world. So in a sense, he is trusting in Hashem. But there's almost like two types of trust. There's the trust where I'm trusting in you to guide me to the right deal because I don't know. And there's the trust that I'm trusting that you did already guide me. You gave me the directives, and this is the way we have to look at Torah. You know, many people today have trouble looking at it that way. They say, well, if I follow the halacha, you know, everybody's competing illegally, and everybody's doing all kinds of dirty tricks, and this and that and the other thing, and who knows and what's going to be. I'll never be able to compete in such a market. And what are you talking about? He gave us the formula. This is the formula for success. A person who wants to know what to do has to find out what does halacha dictate, what does Das Torah dictate, that is the right thing to do, and that is the formula for success in this world. And if it doesn't lead to success as I envisioned it, then I should know it's leading to a greater success, except that time will tell that this was the best way, and had it gone the way I really wanted it, not the way the Torah directed me, I might have ended up in great trouble. And I think that sometimes there's a bit of a disconnect. We look at Torah, at halacha, as religious obligations. This is what you have to do. That's a religious obligation, and we don't realize that it's direction. I think the Chassam Sefer says what the Torah says about a melech, that a melech always has to carry a sefer Torah. And says the Vekoraboy Kolyame Chayov, and he always has to read it every day of his life. And I think the Chassam Sefer says a drush, and he says it means not just he reads it every day of his life, but he reads every day of his life from the Sefer Torah. In other words, it's all there, the directives, what you have to do. Following the directives of the Torah are like following the Urim Vetumim, following the divine direction. Chazal say, Chochem Odech Minovi. A Talmud Chochem, who knows Torah, is even greater than a Novi. Now, what's the comparison? A Novi knows the future. A Novi is divinely gifted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to predict and to tell us and to prophesy the future. The Chochem, he doesn't know anything about the future, he just knows the Chochmas HaTorah. It seems that following Chochmas HaTorah is the direction for the future. It's comparable to Nevuah. When one looks into the halacha and sees that under these and these circumstances, this is exactly what I'm supposed to do, and he relies on that, and he acts on that accordingly, what he has really done is he's connected with Nevuah. with something even greater than nevuah. Because this is the way to know what's going to be good. This is the way to know what's going to be good in my life. Even though it doesn't specifically talk to my life and to my picture and to my question, but it speaks to the halacha to which I have to live. And when there's a halachic directive, and I follow that halachic directive, then I am following the directive for a good, for accomplishment, for good in the life. And in truth, I'm really trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the following of the Torah is like the trusting the Torah to do what's right and to be assured that that's going to lead me in the right direction, the right position. That is the equivalent of trusting in Hashem. In fact, the Zohar says, Yisrael v'ayraiso v'kutsha brichu chadu, that the Klal Yisrael and the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all really one. It's all one. The Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us in this world. Having said that, maybe just another step, a step further, because I just made this comment to someone earlier this evening, and I think it might be apropos at this time. And that is that there's two... life has difficulties. Life has a lot of difficulties. And we live in difficult times, and I think Klal Yisrael has always been in difficult times. The last 2,000 years have certainly not been easy. And when we're in difficulty and overwhelmed, whether it's business, financial, whether it's personal, whether it's health, whether it's emotional, whatever it may be, Tsaras, tsruras we have in the world today, when we get overwhelmed, there's two approaches that can be very, very therapeutic. One is bitochen Hashem. If a person can mimamaki from the depths of his torment and pain and suffering and fear and problems, elevate himself to put his trust in Hashem, that Hashem's going to take care of me. He's in control of everything. Everything he does is for the good. He cares about me. He loves me. He has rachmonis on me. He wants to do chesed to me. I'm confident. I just have this sense that he's going to help me, not going to let me down. That's a schus that allows a person to be extricated from the most difficult situations. And that's certainly a schus that we all need in times like this to elevate and extricate and remove us from the difficulties that we find ourselves. But there's another means that also works in a different way, and that is Limud HaTorah. The person has problems. He's overwhelmed. His life is falling apart at the seams. He doesn't know. He's pulling his hair out of his head. He doesn't know what to do first. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And he sits down to learn Torah. It doesn't necessarily make all the problems go away. Maybe that's the purview of Bitochen. I trust Hashem, everything is resolved. One thing it does, it gives him that sense of perspective. When he finishes his learning, he walks with the problems. Wait, they're still here, but they got so much smaller. They were dwarfed in significance to studying the Darkei Hashem. If a person has that sense of appreciation of what learning Torah is, if a person realizes that when he's learning Torah, he's connecting with the eternal. He's connecting with the infinite. And this is the ultimate that exists. This is the ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Then, I got such problems. I have money problems, and I got this problem, and I got that problem. But I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm connected with him. I spend my time delving into the secrets of his being, of his existence, of his world, of his directives for this world. So it may not be a schus to take away all my problems, but it certainly dwarfs them in importance by contrast. The problems, when I started learning, I had such terrible problems. They loomed ominously. By the time I finished and I connected with the real world, then the problems are still there. I don't know. I'm going to have to deal with them, but it's a different world, and I think that. Especially in times such as these, the power of Limud HaTorah is something which is unparalleled. The schus of Limud HaTorah, the ability of the Torah to grant us all of the brachos in life that we want, is something that's so infinite that it's really something that we should pay very special attention to. And in this vein, in this context, I'm personally fond of telling a story that happened many years ago. I may have very likely at some point used it in this discussion of the Chavis Alavovas, but I'd like to mention it again because I think it's pertinent, and I think we're all of us involved in this type of limud in Yonei Bitochen in these difficult times are certainly looking for graphic and tangible chizuk and a personal story that carries with it a, as we learned in the previous paragraphs in the Chavis Alavovas, carries a graphic example of how these things work, can make a big difference. It was in the early 80s. We were in Los Angeles and had a yeshiva there. And a group of graduates of the high school who had gone on to study in yeshivas in New York and Eretz Yisrael were home for the summer, and we were talking about the possibility of their staying and learning in our post-high school division, which was very small at the time. Being Mechazik, the yeshiva, being Mechazik, the high school, it would be a really big thing. But they had one request, which was basically a condition. And that condition was that besides giving a shir every day, that I must spend the morning Seder, which I think in those days was 9 to 1, something like that, in the Beis Medrash to talk with them and learning, to help them with their questions and so forth. So besides just a shir every day for an hour or whatever, I'd have to spend 4 hours a day in the Beis Medrash. And I said, I would love to do it. There's nothing I'd love to do more, but I'm a little bit afraid to make such a commitment. And I started to tell them, you know, I have a few $100,000 in carryover debt from last year. We have to raise another few $100,000, and I have to teach in the high school, and I have to here and there. And how can I take 4 hours a day of prime time and give it up in the Beis Medrash, although I would love to do it, and certainly would be worthwhile. I says, but you know, give me 24 hours, and I'll get back to you with a decision. I go home, and I ask my wife what she thinks, and she says, it's a mission in Pirkei Avos. I'm a kabel olav oil teiro, ma'avir meno oil malchus vel derech eretz. Omer Reb Nechunim ben Hakona, the third parak in Pirkei Avos. If you're makabel the burden of teiro, sitting and learning teiro, then miraculously, ma'avir, it's removed from you, the burden of government, which meant taxes, payroll taxes, v'derech eretz, and making money, making a living. She says, be makabel. I said, I'm makabel. Next morning, I went back, told these guys, starting with Shredish Elul, I'm in the Beis Medrash, the morning Seder, you got a deal. That night, I met a young man who was a former student of the yeshiva. He says, my father has something he wants to talk to you about. Give him a call. So I call his father, and he says to me a old story that there's an elderly gentleman who's very, very ill, has no family, nothing, and living in one of his apartments, and maybe we could send in the yeshiva guys to help clean up the apartment. He was living in terrible straits there and had no one to help him and everything. And maybe we could send some guys in and help him and this and that, and you know, take care of him and buy him some food, see what he needs, try to cater to his needs a little bit. And then at the end he says, and who knows? You know, he's very, very sick. He doesn't look like he's going to live too long. Maybe he'll have a couple of bucks. You know, he didn't live as a wealthy man at all. He looked like a pauper. And maybe we'll have a couple of bucks to leave it to the yeshiva. Bekitzer, we went in, spoke with him, sent in the guys, cleaned up his apartment, got him some groceries, restored his telephone had been disconnected, you know, he hadn't really wasn't able to take care of himself. And, you know, got to know him a little bit. About 2 weeks later, he wrote a will, passed away a few weeks after that, and left the yeshiva $1 million. And the kabel olav oil teiro ma'avir meno oil malchus vol derech eretz. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, if one accepts upon himself the burden of teiro, sit in the Beis Medrash, 4 hours a day, prime time, how can I do it? I owe so much, I have to raise so much, I have to do so much. But I'm a kabel oil teiro, then the Rebbeinu Shalom miraculously is ma'avir oil teiro, the oil malchus, government, taxes, and derech eretz, and making a living. So I think a pertinent message a pertinent dual message for our time is together with the enhanced bitochen, and maybe as a corollary of it, but a person should strengthen the Kabbalas Oil Torah, the learning storim, the intensity of the storim, the times of the storim, the numbers of the storim, and I think that with that in mind, if a person does that and he strengthens his Limud HaTorah, he will find that his tax burden and his Derech Eretz will also be miraculously removed, and maybe we'll be zeicha to a little bit relief from all of the difficulties of our time.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.